You see, most of us pray for better circumstances. But I believe that we get to a certain level of maturity that we don't just pray that life will get better. We pray that God would be glorified through our circumstances.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I am your host. And you know, if you don't have a great church home, you are missing out on something incredible. 20 years ago, I came to New Life Community Church. I had been to many places. I had lived many ways. I was at the end of myself, really. And what I found at this local church was real people with real problems who found real hope in a real God. It touched me that they seemed to have such a vibrant relationship with God. I couldn't find that anywhere else. I tried on my own. I tried to be a good person. But I needed the gospel. I needed the good news of Jesus. And I found that at a great local church. Friends, all around Chicagoland, if you look hard enough, you'll find great local churches. I believe New Life is one of them. There's 27 locations in and around Chicago. Even in Northwest Indiana, there's a few. In Hammond and in Hobart. We're out in the suburbs in Elgin and Homer Glen. And we're down south in Oak Forest and Oak Lawn. We're up north in Rogers Park. All over and in between, you can find a New Life near you or near someone you know. Invite them out. If you want more information, go to newlifechicago.org. And don't wait another week before getting into a local church. It might take you a while to find the one that you fit into best, but don't give up the search. We believe there's a great community of faith out there. You just got to keep taking a step because you were never intended to do life alone. Let's get into the message today. Here's Pastor Mark.
You begin to thank God. Thank you that you are sovereign and there is nothing that is higher than you, oh God. And our prayer takes on this dimension of focusing on the good things of God. So the Apostle Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being alert and being thankful. And then he says in verse 3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Now notice what Paul does not ask him to pray for. What is absence in his prayer request? Where was Paul at this time? He's in jail. Every letter I get from jail, and I happen to know a lot of people in jail for some reason, and every letter that I get from people in jail, they always say, and pray that I get out of jail, and pray that the judge lets me out, and pray for my court hearing. Every single one wants to get out, and Paul does not mention, hey, pray that I will get out. He says, pray. Listen, pray that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. What Paul is saying, you see, he had a divine perspective. He's saying, hey, I know that God can open and close doors, but what I want is I want God to be glorified. I want the message to extend through my circumstances. Now, that takes spiritual maturity to pray that way. You see, most of us pray for better circumstances. But I believe that we get to a certain level of maturity that we don't just pray that life will get better. We pray that God would be glorified through our circumstances. We pray, oh God, I want to be healed, but if in my sickness you can find glory and there's some doctor that needs to be witnessed to or some person in the bed beside me that needs to hear the message of Jesus, then so be it. God, may you receive glory through this. I pray that in my circumstances I will have the power to proclaim Jesus and share Jesus in a natural way so people understand. You may be praying, oh God, switch my job. I need a new job. Oh, I need a new job, a better environment, better pay. And that's not a bad prayer. But maybe a more mature prayer would be, God, I desire a new job. But while I'm here, God, if you see fit that in this job that I'm at, I can share greater the love of Jesus and more people can come to know you. And through this job that I have, that more can be accomplished for your kingdom, then so be it, God, because my ultimate desire is not simply the prosperity of my life, but the expansion of the kingdom of God through my life. Now that takes some maturity. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul says that he would have the ability to proclaim clearly. And by the way, we know from the book of Philippians that he wrote the book of Philippians during his same imprisonment. And we know from that book that actually he says, and pray for those that are of the household of Caesar. Paul was in Rome in prison, and he was waiting to come before Caesar. And it seems to be that Paul had the opportunity to witness to some of the guards and some of the people that were holding him in prison. And it seems to be that he started a Bible study in his imprisonment. And people in the household of Caesar that were employed by Caesar were coming to Christ. And Paul was starting his own little home group, his jailhouse home group. And then he says to these believers, he says, be wise. Verse 5, look at it. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Now, Paul is very aware that we live in a world that for the most part is unchristian. Let me tell you, you may have not discovered this yet, but if you are living for God and taking your Christianity seriously, I want you to understand me, you are a minority. You do not live in a Christian society that by and large has embraced the values of Jesus. You're not in the Bible Belt of America. You're in Chicago. You're in Illinois, where our governor just got indicted for allegedly trying to sell a Senate seat. This is where we live, folks. And if you're going to live for God and you're going to serve God, you're not going to have a lot of people applauding you from the sidelines and say, go live for Jesus. Great, we're so happy. Most people are going to think you're a freak and aren't going to understand your Christianity and aren't going to be super happy that you're following Jesus and don't understand your values and your convictions and your lifestyle. And so therefore, as you interact with people, listen, you may be the only Christian that some people encounter. And so the Apostle Paul says, wow, what a great opportunity. Some of you are saying, I want to switch jobs because there's no Christians at my job. Listen, maybe God wants you to stay there because there are no Christians at your job. And he says, be wise the way I run into people. They're turned off by Christianity, not because of Christ, but because of the Christians they meet. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, I want you to be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. What does it mean to be wise? Wise means that there's a degree of wisdom and sensitivity and knowledge that you have as you deal with people who are the outsiders, people that are outside of the faith. And he says, I want you to make the most of every opportunity, but then he tells them how to make the most of every opportunity. You see, I believe that we have opportunities around us all the time. But sometimes we either miss the opportunities or we blow the opportunities. And let me tell you the both extremes. One extreme is we're so timid about our faith that we're closet Christians. We drop the napkin when we pray. We put a cover over our Bible so that people can't tell it's a Bible. We don't really want people to think that we're too religious, so no one knows we're Christians. And we're sort of undercover. We're closet Christians. And so therefore, we have no opportunity to share our faith ever. On the other extreme, I've run into people that are obnoxious Christians. And what they do is they see an outsider and they treat him as a lost soul that needs to be saved right there. Hi, how you doing? I'm born again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, sanctified. Are you? I don't think so. Well, you need to be. I think you may be going to hell. You need to check it out. And that's, you have them cornered up against a wall and they're talking to you and they're thinking in their mind, Laura, they're thinking, someone help me to get away from this raving religious maniac. Because not that that's your heart, but here's the thing. Paul says, be wise in the way you treat outsiders. Some of you, when you first became believers, you weren't wise. You alienated your family. You went back home and you said, guess what? I'm a born-again, saved person now. And I'm changing my life. And every single one of you, turn or burn. And you're, you know, you're in their face and you're belligerent and you're all sinning and you never do this and all of you are unrighteous and you're going and let's bash the TV and let's burn all the magazines. And your family is like, whoa, what cult has this person joined? And what the Apostle Paul is saying, now, I compare that to going to a restaurant. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and some teenager ate at that restaurant before you, so they kind of unscrew the lid of the salt shaker? And you know, I like my food salty. So I salt it before I taste it. Someone says, well, does it need salt? Yeah, it needs salt because I like it salty. I haven't even tasted it. I just salt my food. But, you know, I've been in these restaurants before where I go to pour the salt and all the salt pours out on my food. And so you think, well, I'm just going to brush it away. But have you ever tried to eat food that a whole bunch of salt has fallen on? I mean, it's just nasty. It, like, you take a bite and you pucker your face because it's just too much salt. And it doesn't make you want more. It makes you want to reject what you have, not because salt is bad, but because there's too much salt in one place at one time. Here's the thing that Paul is saying. Paul is saying that be wise in the way you treat outsiders. And he says this, let your conversation, your interaction with outsiders always be full of grace. And then it says, seasoned with salt. You know how something is seasoned? There's just enough salt to make it tastier. And what salt does is it makes you thirsty. You put a little salt on and it makes you thirsty for more. And if it's something is seasoned well, you say, I want more of that. That was good. As some people we've poured out so much, our conversation has been full of religiosity, but not full of grace. You know what grace is? Yeah, my neighbor next door. No, not her. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Grace is the opposite of the law. Some of us run into non-believers, outsiders, and we treat them and talk to them as though they should be behaving like believers. And so you're trying to make them not swear. But they're not a believer. And you're trying to make them not laugh at bad jokes, but they're telling them all the time. And you're moralizing around them and you're self-righteous and you're telling them what not to do and how bad it is and trying to change them around. But listen, they're non-believers. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why should they act like a believer if they're not a believer? Don't try to change them by moralizing about how bad they are. What you need to do is try to introduce them to the God that's full of grace, that can transform them so that this God can work from the inside out. And naturally they'll start changing, not because you are moralizing, but because they've met the transformer of lives, Jesus Christ.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk radio message called A Jesus First Life. It's from our series called First Things First, Keeping Your Priorities Straight. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 4 with his message, A Jesus First Life.
A conversation full of grace, the unmerited favor of God, is a conversation that is not judgmental. It's not condemning. It's a conversation that extends mercy and grace that says, wow, God has been so good to me. And it doesn't, well, you shouldn't, and how come you're, and you are this. It's full of grace. It extends mercy. You see, the world looks at Christians and sometimes all they see is finger pointing. Finger pointing. That's what they see. You know, but Paul is saying when they see you, your conversation needs to be full of grace. What they should hear is, man, I am just like you. And I understand what you're going through. If not for the grace of God, man, I'd be right there with you. But God has been good to me. And God's mercy has extended. And because of his mercy and his grace and his love, man, I want to live for him. You know, this morning, I think 2 weeks ago, I told you that I was stopped by a policeman on I-55 on my way to church. And a state trooper. Did I tell you that? I think I did tell you that, right? And, you know, I didn't even see him behind me. My mirror was down because the kids had been in the car. And you know how you focus your mirror on the back seat just to make sure your kids know you're watching them. Parents know what I'm talking about. And so my mirror was down. This guy was behind me. I didn't realize it until I looked in the side mirror. I thought I saw some light. So I put my mirror up and he's right behind me, like following. I'm thinking, oh no, how long has he been behind me? I didn't even see him. And so I pull over to the side and he comes to the window and I open the window. I'm already apologizing. I'm saying, sorry, officer, I did not see you behind me. I'm thinking, I don't know how long this guy's been behind me. He's probably ready to call up other squad cars. Hey, I got a fugitive. Come help me. And so I look at him and he looks at me and I think, I know you. And he looks at me and says, Pastor? I said, hi. And he had the funniest reaction because he looked at me and said, oh, this is awkward. Oh, this is awkward. And he said, I was on my way to the north side to church. He said, Pat, go in Godspeed. Still trying to figure out what Godspeed meant. I'm not sure if it means go at whatever speed you think God has called you to go at, or if he meant like, hey, you need to follow the speed limit because it's Godspeed. I'm still trying to kind of, I think he threw that in there just to mess with my mind a little bit, going Godspeed. But you know, this morning I was driving down the same expressway. I was thinking, I watched the speedometer a little bit more carefully. You know why? Not because of the law, but because of grace. Because I thought to myself, this would be terrible if the same guy had to pull me over again and he was thinking, man, I gave you mercy. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to take advantage of that grace given to me. Because I've been extended grace. I don't want to take advantage of grace. It wasn't the law that was driving me. It was grace. It was gratitude. Hey, I've been given some leniency, and I don't want to take advantage of that leniency because that grace speaks to my heart. And you see, with God, it's the same way. You have been, listen, you are saved and a believer. If you are a believer here today, it has nothing to do with your righteousness. It has nothing to do with you seeking after God. It has to do with God reaching out to you when you and I did not deserve it at all, but it was God extending grace to us. And we did not find God. God found us. And so we fill our conversation with grace and we season it with salt so that we may know how to answer everyone. Last week, there was a fellow at New Life Lincoln Park that got baptized. He was a young fellow, a young lawyer. He just finished law school, has opened up his law practice. And 2 weeks before that, in a service, I had given invitation. If you need to follow Jesus Christ, give your life to him, just indicate it right now. And there were a couple of people that raised their hands, and he was one of them. And he just said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Right? I've known about God, but I've never accepted him. And so last week he got baptized, and he was so excited. He was saying that the last 2 weeks he felt like his life had really changed around by following Jesus Christ and how his whole perspective had changed around. And so this morning at church, he told me, he said he was excited. You know, the excitement of a new believer. Hey, guess what happened, Pastor? He said, tell me. He said, I was I was calling a web designer for my new practice, trying to get someone to design my web. And the guy on the other end said, I'd like to do it, but I can't right now because my wife has just gone into a coma through this accident. And he said, oh, I feel so bad. He said, I'll pray for you. He said, I hung up the phone and I prayed for him. And he said, and then I felt like the Spirit of God said to me, call him back. So he said, I picked up the phone, I called him back, and I said, hi, this is the guy that called you about the website. I'm a believer. Would you mind if I pray for you and your wife again? And he said, I prayed for him, and he said he was so touched that this virtual stranger that he had never met would pray for his wife that's in a coma. And I thought, yes, grace, grace. 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 You see, I believe there's opportunities all around us all the time. Some of us miss those opportunities because we're not looking for divine appointments. We're not looking how to show grace to people around us. We feel like we have to corner someone and make them get on their knees and push their head down and repent, get saved. No. We need grace. It's the grace of God that leads us to repentance, the Bible says. And then the Apostle Paul goes on in the next several verses, which I don't have time to cover this morning. It's finally the concluding remarks. And in these final verses, the Apostle Paul mentions 11 people. 11. He mentions Tychicus and Onesimus that are taking the letter, that are faithful servants. He mentions Mark, had blown it before and now had come back to God. He mentions Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Mark, by the way, wrote the Gospel of Mark as well. And he had failed and botched it up and then come back. He mentions Demas. He says in verse 14, my friend Luke the doctor and Demas send their greetings. Now, Demas is sad to me because a few books later in 2 Timothy, he mentions Demas again. And the apostle says, Demas has forsaken me because he loved the world more. 11 people in his inner circle. Some of them had failed. Some of them had walked away from God. Here's the thing that I know. I've been pastoring for 23 years now. I know that a year from now, some of you are going to have grown so incredibly, you will barely recognize your life from today because you will grow in maturity. And there's some of you, unfortunately, that will probably not be with us worshiping a year from now because you will have been swept away by the challenges of the world. There's some of you who your faith is going to be so severely tested that some of you are going to walk away from God. You say, well, Pastor, why are you speaking that into our lives? I'm just saying that I'm not naive to it. Jesus had 12. Several of them turned their back on him. One sold them, and this was out of 12. Let me tell you, there's a battle for our souls. There's a battle. And unless you determine now that I'm going to live for God no matter what the cost. I'm going to fight the fight. I'm going to endure. And listen, that's why we're in community. That's why we're in a church together, journeying along together. There are some people right now, as I speak right now, this morning, now it's this afternoon, as I speak right now, there are some of you here that there is a battle for your soul. There's a battle for your soul. In fact, there might be some of you that came this morning and said, you know what, I'm hanging on by a thread, but I'm not even sure I can follow God anymore. Or some of you going to be lured away from God through some relationship that's not godly, some girl that's going to come up, and you're going to leave God for a girl. There's challenges. The Apostle Paul closes this way. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Oh, I love grace be with you. You see, the only thing that's going to sustain you is grace. It's grace. It's the unmerited, undeserved favor of God that in your moment of hardship, you say, God, I don't deserve it, but I need you, God. It's His grace that gives you power, grace that gives you conviction, grace that awakens your spirit when you're about to fall away and never return. It's grace, the grace of God, the grace of God.
This has been the conclusion of Pastor Mark's message called A Jesus First Life. It's part of our series in the book of Colossians titled First Things First, Getting Your Priorities Straight. We hope that this has been an encouragement to you to help you get your priorities straight this year. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.